Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Section 32 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 30th Adventure, How They Kept Guard. And now the day was ended, and nearing was the night. Came then the thought with longing unto each wayworn knight, when that they might rest them, and to their beds be shown. 'Twas mooted first by Hagen, and straight was answer then made known. To Etzel spake then Gunther, "Fair days may God thee give. To bed we'll now betake us, and be it by thy leave. We'll come betimes at morning, if so thy pleasure be." From his guests the monarch parted then full courteously. Upon the guests on all sides, the Huns yet rudely pressed, whereat the valiant Volker these words to them addressed: "How dare ye for these warriors thus beset the way? If that ye desist not, rue such rashness soon ye may. Let fall will I on some one such stroke of fiddle bow, that eyes shall fill with weeping, if he hath friend to show. Why, make not way before us, as fitting were to do. Knights by name ye all are, but knighthood's ways unknown to you." When outspake the fiddler, thus so wrathfully, backward glanced bold Hagen, to see what this might be. Quoth he reads you rightly, this keen minstrel knight, ye followers of Kriemhild, now pass to rest you for the night. The thing whereof ye are minded will none dare do, I ween, if aught ye purpose gainst us. On the morrow be that seen, and let us, weary strangers, the night in quiet pass. I ween with knights of honor such evermore the custom was. Then were led the strangers into a spacious hall, where they found prepared for the warriors one and all beds adorned full richly, that were both wide and long. Yet planned the lady Kriemhild to work on them the direst wrong. Rich quilted mattress covers of arras saw ye there, lustrous all and silken, and spreading sheets there were, wrought of silk of Araby, the best might e'er be seen. O'er them lay rich embroidered stuffs that cast a brilliant sheen. Coverlets of ermine full many might ye see, with sullen sable mingled, whereunder peacefully they should rest the night through, till came the shining day. A king with all retinue ne'er, I ween, so stately lay. "Alack for these night quarters," quoth young Giselher, "alack for my companions who this our journey share. How kind soe'er my sisters, hospitality, dead by her devising, I fear me are we doomed to be. Let now no fears disturb you," Hagen gave reply. "Through the hours of sleeping, keep the watch will I trust full well to guard you until return the day. Thereof be never fearful, let then preserve him well who may." Inclined they all before him, thereat to give him grace, then sought they straight their couches, and sooth 'twas little space, until was softly resting, every stately man, but Hagen, valiant hero, the while to don his armor gan. Spake then to him the fiddler, Volker, a doughty thane, I'll be thy fellow, Hagen, and wilt thou not disdain, while watch this night thou keepest, until do come the morn. Right heartily the hero to Volker then did thanks return. God in heaven requite thee, Volker, trusty fear, in all my time of trouble, wished I none other near, none other but thee only, when dangers round me throng. I'll well repay that favor, if death withhold its hand so long. Arrayed in glittering armor, both soon did ready stand, each did take unto him a mighty shield in hand, and passed without the portal, there to keep the way. Thus were the strangers guarded, and trusty watchers eke had they. Volker the valiant, as he sat before the hall, leaned his trusty buckler, meanwhile, against the wall, then took in hand his fiddle, as he was wont to do. All times the thane would render unto his friends a service true. Beneath the hall's wide portal, he sat on bench of stone, than he a bolder fiddler was there never known, as from his chord sweet echoes resounded through the hall, thanks for glad refreshment had Volker from the warriors all. Then from the strings an echo the wide hall did fill, for in his fiddle playing the knight had strength and skill. Softer then and sweeter to fiddle he began, and wild to peaceful slumber many an anxious, brooding man. When they were wrapped in slumber, and he did understand, then took again the warrior his trusty shield in hand, and passed without the portal to guard the entrance tower, and safe to keep his fellows where Kriemhild's crafty men did lower. About the hour of midnight, or earlier perchance, the eye of valiant Volker did catch a helmet's glance. Afar from out the darkness, the men of Kriemhild sought how that upon the strangers might grievous scathe in stealth be wrought. Quoth thereat the fiddler, "Friend Hagen, 'tis full clear that we do well together here this watch to share. I see before us yonder men armed for the fight. I ween they will attack us, if I their purpose judge aright." "Be silent then," spake Hagen, "and let them come more nigh. Ere that they perceive us, shall helmets sit awry, by good swords disjointed, that in our hands do swing. Tale of vigorous greeting shall they back to Kriemhild bring." Amid the Hunnish warriors, one full soon did see that well the door was guarded. Straightway then cried he, "The thing we here did purpose, 'tis need we now give o'er, for I behold the fiddler standing guard before the door. Upon his head a helmet of glancing light is seen, welded strong and skillful, dintless of clearest sheen. The mail rings of his armor do sparkle like the fire. Beside him stands eke Hagen. Safe are the strangers from our ire." Straightway they back returned, when Volker that did see, unto his companion wrathfully spake he, "Now let me to these caitiffs across the courtyard go. What mean they by such business? From Kriemhild's men I fain would know." "Know as thou dost love me," Hagen straight replied, "if from this hall thou partest, such ill may thee betide, at hands of these bold warriors, and from the swords they bear, that I must haste to help thee, though here our kinsman's bane it wear. Soon as we two together have joined with them in fight, a pair or two among them will surely hasten strite hither to this hall here, and work such havoc sore upon our sleeping brethren as must be mourned evermore." Thereto gave answer Volker, "So much not the less must be, that they do learn full certain how I the knaves did see, that the men of Kriemhild hereafter not deny what they had wrought full gladly, here with foulest treachery. Straightway then unto them aloud did Volker call, "How go ye thus in armor, ye valiant warriors all? A fourth perchance a robbing Kriemhild's men go ye? Myself and my companion shall ye then have for company?" Thereto no man gave answer. Wrathful grew his mood. "Fie, ye caitiff villains," spake the hero good, "would ye us so foully have murdered while we slept? With knights so high in honor, full seldom thus hath faith been kept." Then unto Queen Kriemhild were the tidings borne, how her men did fail their purpose. 'Twas cause for her to mourn, yet otherwise she wrought it, for grim she was of mood. Anon through her must perish full many a valorous knight and good. End of section 32. Section 33 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 31st Adventure. How they went to mass. "So cool doth grow my armor," Volker made remark. "I ween but little longer, will endure the dark. By the air do I perceive it, that soon will break the day." Then waked they many a warrior, who still in deepest slumber lay. When break the light of morning, athwart the spacious hall, Hagen gan awaken, the stranger warriors all, if that they to the minster would go to holy mass, after the Christian custom of bells a mickle ringing wass. There sang they all uneven, that plainly might ye see, how Christian men and heathen did not full well agree. Each one of Gunther's warriors would hear the service sung, so were they all together up from their night couches sprung. Then did the warriors lace them in so goodly dress that never heroes any that king did e'er possess more richly stood attired, that Hagen grieved to see. Quoth he, "Ye knights far other, here must your attire be. Yea, know among you many how here the case doth stand. Bear ye instead of roses your good swords in hand, for chaplets all bejeweled, your glancing helmets good, since we have well perceived how is the angry Kriemhild's mood. Today must we do battle, that will I now declare. Instead of silken tunic, shall ye good hauberks wear, and for embroidered mantle, a trusty shield and wide, that ye may well defend you, if ye must others' anger bide. My masters, well-beloved, knights and kinsmen true, 'tis meet that ye betake you unto the minster too, that God do not forsake you in peril and in need, for certain now I make you that death is nigh to us indeed. Forget ye not whatever wrong ye e'er have done, but there for God right meekly all your arrows own. Thereto would I advise you, ye knights of high degree, for God alone in heaven may will that other mass ye see." Thus went they to the minster, the princes and their men, within the holy churchyard, bade them Hagen then stand all still together, that they part not at all. Quoth he, "Knows not any what may at hands of Huns befall. Let's stand, good friends, already, your shields before your feet, that if ever any would you in malice greet, with deep cut wound ye pay him, that is Hagen's rede, that from men may never aught but praises be your meed." Volker and Hagen, the twain thence did pass, before the broad minster, therein their purpose was, that the royal Kriemhild must meet them where they stood, there athwart her pathway, and soothful grim she was of mood. Then came the royal Etzel, and eke his spouse full fair. Attired were the warriors, all in raiment rare, that following full stately, With her ye might see the dust arose all densely around Kriemhild's mickle company. When the lofty monarch thus all armed did see the kings and their followers, straightway then cried he, "How see I in this fashion my friends with helm on head? By my troth I sorrow if ill to them have happened. I'll gladly make atonement, as doth to them belong. Hath any them affronted, or done them aught of wrong? To me 'tis mickle sorrow, well may they understand. To serve them am I ready, in whatsoever they command." Thereto gave answer Hagen, "Here hath wronged us none. 'Tis custom of my master to keep their armor on, till full 3 days be over, when high festival they hold. Did any here molest us, to Etzel would the thing be told." Full well heard Kriemhild, likewise, how Hagen gave reply. Upon him what fierce glances flashed furtively her eye, yet betray she would not the custom of her country, though well she long had known it in the land of Burgundy. How grim soe'er and mighty the hate to them she bore, had any told to Etzel how stood the thing before, well had he prevented what there anon befell, so haughty were they minded that none to him the same would tell. With the queen came forward, there a mighty train, but no 2 handbreadths yielded, yet those warriors twain, to make way before her, the Huns did wrathful grow, that their mistress passing should by them be jostled so. Etzel's high-born pages were sore displeased therate, and had upon the strangers straightway spent their hate, but that they durst not do it, their high lord before, there was a mickle pressing, yet naught of anger happened more. When they thence were parting, from holy service done, on horse came quickly prancing full many a nimble Hun. With the lady Kriemhild went many a maiden fair, and eke to make her escort 7,000 knights rode there. Kriemhild with her ladies within the casement sat, by Etzel mighty monarch full pleased he was thereat. They wished to view the tourney of knights beyond compare, what host of strangers riding thronged the court before them there. The marshal with the squires not in vain ye sought. Dankwart, the full valiant, with him had he brought his royal master's followers of the land of Burgundy. For the valiant Nibelungen the steeds well saddled might ye see. When their steeds they mounted, the kings and all their men, Volker Thane Fulldoti gave his counsel then, that after their country's fashion they ride a mass melee. His rede the heroes followed, and tourneyed in full stately way. The knight had counsel given, in sooth that pleased them well, the clash of arms in melee soon full loud did swell. Many a valiant warrior did thereto resort, as Etzel and Kriemhild looked down upon the spacious court. Came there unto the melee 600 knights of those that followed Dietrich's bidding, the strangers to oppose. Pastime would they make them with the men of Burgundy, and if he leave had granted, had done the same right willingly. In their company rode there how many a warrior bold, when unto Sir Dietrich then the thing was told, forbade he that gainst Gunther's men they join the play. He feared lest harm befall them, and well his counsel did he weigh. When of Bairn the warriors thence departed were, came they of Beccalaren, the men of Rudiger, bearing shield 500, and rode before the hall. Rather had the margrave that they came there not at all. Prudently then rode he amid their company, and told unto his warriors how they might plainly see that the men of Gunther were in evil mood. Did they forego the melee, please him better far it wooed. when they were thence departed, the stately knights and bold, came they of Thuringia, as hath to us been told, and of them of Denmark, 1,000 warriors keen, from crash of spear upflying, full frequent were the splinters seen. Ernfried and Havart rode into the melee, whom the gallant men of Rhineland received in knightly play, full off the men of Thuringia. They met in tournament, whereby the piercing lance point through many a stately shield was sent. Eke with 3,000 warriors came Sir Blodel there. Etzel and Kriemhild were of his coming ware, as this play of chivalry before them they did see. Now hoped the queen that evil befall the men of Burgundy. Shrutan and Gibecca rode into the melee, eke Ramung and Hornbog after the Hunnish way. Yet must they come to standstill for the thanes of Burgundy, high against the palace, while the splintered shafts did fly. How keen soe'er the contest, 'twas naught but knightly sport. With shock of shields and lances, heard ye the palace court. Loud give back the echo, where Gunther's men rode on, his followers in the jousting, on every side high honor won. So long they held such pastime, and with so mickle heat, that through the broidered trappings oozed clear drops of sweet from the prancing chargers, whereon the knights did ride, in full gallant manner, their skill against the Huns they tried. Then outspake the fiddler, Volker deft of hand, "These knights, I ween too timid, are gainst us to stand. Oft did I hear the story, what hate to us they bore, than this a fairer season, to vent it find they nevermore." Lead back unto the stables, once more spake Volker then, "Now our weary chargers, we'll ride perchance again. When comes the cool of evening, if fitting time there be, mayhap the queen will honor, award to men of Burgundy." Behold they then prick hither, one dressed in state so rare, that of the Huns none other might with him compare, belike from castle tower did watch his fair lady, so gay was his apparel, as it some knight's bride might be. Then again quoth Volker, "How may I stay my hand? Yonder lady's darling, a knock shall understand. Let no man here deter me, I'll give him sudden check. How spouse of royal Etzel, thereat may rage I little reck." "Nay, as thou dost love me," straight King Gunther spake, "all men will but reproach us, if such affront we make. The Huns be first offenders, for such would more befit." Still did the royal Etzel, encasement by Queen Kriemhild sit. "I'll add unto the melee," Hagen did declare, "let now all these ladies and knights be made aware, how we can ride a charger, 'twere well we make it known, for come what may small honor shall here to Gunther's men be shown." Once more the nimble Volker into the melee spurred, whereat full many a lady soon to weep was heard. His lance right through the body of that gay Hun he sent. 'Twas cause that many a woman and maiden fair must sore lament. Straight dashed into the melee, Hagen and his men, with 80 of his warriors, spurred he quickly then. Forward where the fiddler played so lustily, Etzel and Kriemhild full plainly might the passage see. Then would the kings their minstrel, that may ye fairly know, leave not all defenseless, there amid the foe. With them 1,000 heroes rode forth full dexterously, and soon had gained their purpose with show of proudest chivalry. When in such rude fashion the stately Hun was slain, might ye hear his kinsmen weeping loud complain. Then all around did clamor, "Who hath the slayer been?" None but the fiddler was it, Volker the minstrel keen. For swords and for shields, then, called full speedily, that slain Margrave's kinsman of the Huns' country. To avenge him sought they, Volker in turn to slay, and haste down from the casement, royal Etzel made his way. Arose a mighty clamor from the people, all, the kings and men of Burgundy, dismounted for the hall, and likewise their chargers to the rear did send. Came then the mighty Etzel, and sought to bring the strife to end. From one of that Hun's kinsmen, who near by him did stand, snatched he a mighty weapon, quick from out his hand, and therewith backward smote them, for fierce his anger wrought. Shall thus my hospitality unto these knights be brought to naught? If ye the valiant minstrel here for me should slay, spake the royal Etzel, it were an evil day, when he the Hun impaled, I did observe full well, that not through evil purpose, but by mishap it so befell. These my guests now must ye, ne'er disturb in aught. Himself became their escort, away their steeds were brought, unto the stables by many a waiting squire, who ready at their bidding, stood to meet their least desire. The host with the strangers into the palace went, nor would he suffer any further his wrath to vent. Soon were the tables ready, and water for them did wait. Many then had gladly on them of Rhineland spent their hate. Not yet the lords were seated, till some time was o'er, for Kriemhild o'er her sorrow meantime did trouble sore. She spake of Bairn, O master, thy counsel grant to me, thy help and eke thy mercy, for here in sorrow plight I be. To her gave answer Hildebrand, a thane right praiseworthy, who harms the Nibelungen, shall ne'er have help of me. How great soe'er the guerdon, such deed he well may rue, for never yet did any these gallant doughty knights subdue. Eke in courteous manner Sir Dietrich her addressed, vain, O lofty mistress, unto me thy quest. In sooth thy lofty kinsmen have wronged me not at all, that I on thane so valorous should thus with murderous purpose fall. Thy prayer doth thee small honor, O high and royal dame, that upon thy kinsmen thou so dost counsel shame. Thy grace to have they deemed, when came they to this land? Nevermore shall Siegfried avenged be by Dietrich's hand. When she no guile discovered in the night of Bairn, unto Blodel straightway did she hopeful turn, with promise of wide marches that Nudung erst did own. Slew him later Dankwart, that he forgot the gift full sown. Spake she, do thou help me, Sir Blodel, I pray. Yea, within the palace are foes of mine this day, who erstwhile slew Siegfried, spouseful dear to me, who helps me to avenge it. To him I'll e'er beholden be. Thereto gave answer Blodel, lady, be well aware, ne'er to do them evil, for Etzel may I dare. For to thy kinsman lady beareth he good will, ne'er might the king me pardon, wrought I upon them aught of ill. But nay, Sir Blodel, my favor shall thou have evermore. Yea, give I thee for guerdon silver and golden store, and eke a fairest lady that Nudung erst should wed. By her fond embraces mayst thou well be comforted. The land and eke the castles all to thee I'll give. Yea, mayst thou, knightful noble, in joyance ever live. Call'st thou thine the marches wherein did Nudung dwell? Whate'er this day I promise, fulfill it all I will full well. When understood Sir Blodel what gain should be his share, and pleased him well the lady, for that she was so fair, by force of arms then thought he to win her for his wife. Thereby the knight aspirant was doomed anon to lose his life. Unto the hall betake thee, quoth he unto the queen, alarum I will make thee, Ere any know, I ween, a tone shall surely hagen, where he hath done thee wrong. To thee I'll soon give over, King Gunther's man in fetters strong. To arms, quoth Blodel, my good warriors all, in their followers' quarters, upon the foe will fall. Herefrom will not release me, royal Etzel's wife, to win this venture, therefore, fear not each one to lose his life. When at length Queen Kriemhild found Blodel well content to fulfill her bidding, she to table went with the monarch Etzel and eke a goodly band. Dire was the treason she against the guests had planned. Since in none other manner she knew the strife to start, Kriemhild's ancient sorrow still rankled in her heart. Bade she bring to table Etzel's youthful son, by woman bent on vengeance, how might more awful deed be done? Went upon the instant four of Etzel's men, and soon came bearing Ortlieb, the royal scion then, unto the prince's table, where Ekrim Hagen sate. The child was doomed to perish by reason of his deadly hate. When the mighty monarch then his child did see, unto his lady's kinsmen in manner kind spake he, "Now, my good friends, behold ye, here my only son, and child of your high sister, may it bring you profit, every one. Grow he but like his kindred, a valiant man he'll be, a mighty king and noble, doughty and fair to see. Live I but yet a little, 12 lands shall he command. May ye have faithful service from the youthful Ortlieb's hand. Therefore grant me favor, ye good friends of mine, when to your country ride ye, again unto the Rhine. Shall ye then take with you this your sister's son, and at your hands may ever by the child full fair be done. Bring him up in honor, until to manhood grown, if then in any country hath wrong to you been done, he'll help you by his valor, vengeance swift to wreak." Eke heard the lady Kriemhild, royal Etzel thus to speak. "Well might these my masters on his faith rely, grew he heir to manhood," Hagen made reply. "Yet is the prince, I fear me, more early doomed of fate. 'Twere strange did any see me ever at court on Ortlieb wait." The monarch glanced at Hagen, sore grieved at what he heard, although the king full gallant thereto spake ne'er a word. Natheless his heart was saddened, and heavy was his mind. No wise the mood of Hagen was to merriment inclined. It grieved all the princes and the royal host that of his child did Hagen make such idle boast, that they must likewise leave it unanswered like they naught. They little weened what havoc should by the thane anon be wrought. End of section 33. Section 34 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 32nd Adventure, How Blodel Was Slain. The knights by Blodel summoned, soon armed and ready ware, 1,000 wearing hauberks straightway did repair. Where Dankwart sat at table with many a goodly squire, soon knight on knight was seeking in fiercest way to vent his ire. When there Sir Blodel strode unto the board, Dankwart the marshal thus spoke, "Courteous ward, unto this hall right welcome, good Sir Blodel be. What business hast thou hither is cause of wonder yet to me." "No greeting here befits thee," spake Blodel presently, "for that this my coming now thy end must be. Through Hagen's fault thy brother, who Siegfried erstwhile slew, to the Huns thou makest atonement, and many another warrior too. But nay, Sir Blodel, Donkvart spake thereto, for so should we have reason, our coming here to rue. A child I was and little, when Siegfried lost his life, nor know I why reproacheth me the royal Etzel's wife. In sooth, I may the story never fully tell. Gunter and Hagen was it, by whom the deed befell. Now guard you well, ye strangers, for doomed in sooth are ye. Unto Lady Kriemhild must your lives now forfeit be. And so thou wilt desist not, Donkvart declared. Regret I my entreaty, my toil were better spared. The nimble thane and valiant up from the table sprung, and drew a keen-edged weapon, great in sooth that was and long. Then smote he with it Blodel, such a sudden blow, that his head full sudden before his feet lay low. Be that thy wedding dower, the doughty Dankwart spake, along with bride of Nudung, whom thou wouldst to thy bosom take. Tomorrow may she marry, but some other one will he have bridal portion. Ain't so to him be done. A Hun that liked not treason had given him to know how that the queen upon him thought to work so grievous woe. When the men of Blodel saw thus their master slain, to fall upon the strangers would they longer not refrain. With swords swung high above them, upon the squires they flew, in a grimmest humor. Soon many must that rashness rue. Full loudly cried then Donkvart to all his company, behold ye, noble squires, the fate that ours must be. Now quit yourselves with valor, for evil is our pass, though fair to us the summons hither from Lady Kriemhild was. They two reached down before them, who no weapons bore, and each a massive footstool snatched from off the floor. For the Burgundian squires no whit were they dismayed, and by the selfsame weapons was many a dint in helmet made. How fierce they fought to shield them, the strangers one and all, e'en their armed foemen drove they from the hall, or smote dead within it hundreds five or more. All the valiant fighters saw ye drenched with ruddy gore. Ere long the wondrous tidings some messenger did tell unto Etzel's chieftain. Fierce did their anger swell, how that slain was Blodel, and knights full many a one, the which had Hagen's brother with his lusty squires done. The Huns, by anger driven, ere Etzel was aware, 2,000 men or over did quick themselves prepare. They fell upon those squires, e'en so it had to be, and never any living they left of all that company. A mickle host they faithless unto those quarters brought, but lustily the strangers gainst their assailants fought. What booted swiftest valor soon must all lie dead. A dire woe thereafter on many a man was visited. Now may ye hear a wondrous tale of honor told, of squires full 9,000 soon in death lay cold, and eke good knights a dozen thereof Donkvart's band. For lone ye saw him only the last amid his foemen stand. The din at last was ended, and lulled the battle sound, when the valiant Donkvart did cast a glance around. Alack for my companions, cried he now from me reft, alack that I now only forlorn amid my foes am left. The swords upon his body fell full thick and fast, which rashness many a warrior's widow mourned at last. His shield he higher lifted, and drew the strap more low. Down coats of ring-made armor made he the ebbing blood to flow. Oh, woe is me, spake Dankwart, the son of Alderan. Now back, ye Hunnish fighters, let me the open gan, that the air give cooling to me storm-weary wight. In splendid valor moving, strode forward then anew the knight. As thus he battle weary, through the hall's portal sprang, what swords of newcome fighters upon his helmet rang. They who not yet had witnessed what wonders wrought his hand, rashly rushed they forward to thwart him of Burgundian land. Now would to God, quoth Donkvart, I found a messenger, who to my brother Hagen might the tidings bear, that for host of foemen, in such sad case am I, from hence he'd surely help me, or by my side he slain would lie. Then Hunnish knights gave answer, thyself the messenger shalt be when to thy brother thee a course we bear. So shall that Thane of Gunther first true sorrow know upon the royal Etzel. Here hast thou wrought so grievous woe. Quoth he, now leave such boasting and yield me passage free, else shall mail rings a many with blood be spattered be. Myself will tell the tidings soon at Etzel's court, and eke unto my masters of this my travail make report. Etzel's men around him belabored he so sore that they at sword point durst not withstand him more. Spears shot into his shield he, so many there did stop, that he the weight unwieldy must from out his hand let drop. Then thought they to subdue him, thus of his shield bereft, but lo, the mighty gashes, wherewith he helmets cleft, must their keen knights full many before him stagger down. High praise the valiant Donkvart, thereby for his valor won. On right side and on left side they still beset his way, yet many a one too rashly did mingle in the fray. Thus strode he mid the foemen, as doth in wood the boar, by yelping hounds beleaguered, more stoutly fought he ne'er before. As there he went his pathway, with reeking blood was wet, yea, never any hero more bravely battled yet, when by foes surrounded, then he did might display, to court did Hagen's brother, with splendid valor make his way. When stewards and cup-bearers heard how sword blades rung, many a brimming goblet from their hands they flung, and eke the viands ready that they to table bore. Thus many doughty foemen withstood him where he sought the door. How now, ye stewards? Cried the weary knight. 'Twere better that ye tended, rather your guests aright, bearing to lords at table choice food that fitteth well, and suffered me these tidings unto my masters dear to tell. Whoe'er before him rashly athwart the stairway sprung, on him with blow so heavy his mighty sword he swung, that soon faint heart gave warning before his path to yield. Mickle wonder wrought he where sword his doughty arm did wield. End of section 34. Section 35 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 33rd Adventure, How the Burgundians Fought with the Huns. Soon as the valiant Donkvart stood beneath the door, bade he Etzel's followers all make way before. With blood from armor streaming, did there the hero stand. A sharp and mighty weapon bore he naked in his hand. Into the hall then Donkvart cried with voice full strong, At table, brother Hagen, thou sittest all too long. To thee and God in heaven must I sore complain. Knights and squires also lie within their lodging slain. Straight he cried in answer, Who hath done such deed? That hath done Sir Blodel, and knights that he did lead. Eke made he meet atonement, that mayst thou understand. His head from off his body have I struck with mine own hand. 'Tis little cause for sorrow, Hagen spake again, when they tell the story of a valiant thane, that he to death was smitten by knight of high degree, the less a cause for weeping, to winsome women shall it be. Now tell me, brother Donkvart, how thou so red mayst be. From thy wounds thou sufferest, I ween full grievously. Lives he within this country who serves thee in such way? Him must the devil shelter, or for the deed his life shall pay. Behold me here all scatheless, my gear is wet with blood, from wounds of others natheless. How hath flowed that flood, of whom this day so many, beneath my broadsword fell? Must I make solemn witness? Ne'er knew I full the tale to tell. He answered, Brother Donkvart, now take thy stand before, and Huns let never any make passage by the door. I'll speak unto these warriors, as needs must spoken be. Dead lie all our followers, slain by foulest treachery. Must I here be chamberlain? Replied the warrior keen. Well know I such high monarchs, a right to serve I ween. So will I guard the stairway, as sorts with honor well, ne'er to the thanes of Kriemhild so sorry case before befell. To me 'tis mickle wonder, Hagen spake again, what thing unto his neighbor whispers each Hunnish thane. I ween they'd forego the service of him who keeps the door, and who such high court tidings to his friends of Burgundy bore. Long since of Lady Kriemhild the story I did hear, how unavenged her sorrow she might no longer bear. A memory cup now quaff we, and pay for royal cheer. The youthful lord of Hunland shall make the first installment here. Thereat the child Ortlieb, doughty Hagen slew, that from the sword downward the blood to hand grip flew, and into lap of Kriemhild the severed head down rolled. Then might ye see mid warriors a slaughter great and grim unfold. By both hands swiftly wielded, his blade then cut the air, and smote upon the tutor who had the child in care, that down before the table his head that instant lay. It was a sorry payment wherewith he did the tutor pay. His eye for Etzel's table a minstrel espied, to whom in hasty manner did wrathful Hagen stride, where moved it on the fiddle, his right hand off smote he. Have that for thy message unto the land of Burgundy. Alack, my hand, did Verbal, that same minstrel moan. What, Sir Hagen of Tranya, have I to thee done? I bore a faithful message unto thy master's land. How may I more make music, thus by thee bereft of hand? Little in sooth recked Hagen, fiddled he nevermore. Then in the hall all wrathful, wrought he havoc sore, upon the thanes of Etzel, whereof he many slew, ere they might find exit, to death then smote he not a few. Volker the full valiant, upsprang from board also, in his hand full clearly rang out his fiddle bow, for mightily did fiddle Gunter's minstrel thane, what host of foes he made him, because of Hunnish warriors slain. Eke sprang from the table the lofty monarchs three, who glad had stilled the combat, ere greater scathe might be. Yet all their art avail not, their anger to assuage, when Volker and Hagen so mightily began to rage. When the lord of Rhineland saw how his toil was vain, gaping wounds full many, himself did smite amain, through rings of shining mail coats, thereupon the foe, he was a valiant hero, as he full gallantly did show. Strode eke into the combat, Gernot a doughty thane, by whom of Hunnish warriors full many a one was slain. With a sword sharp-edged he had of Rudiger, oft sent to dire ruin by him the knights of Etzel were. The youthful son of Ute eke to the combat sprang, and merrily his broadsword upon the helmets rang. of many a Hunnish warrior, there in Etzel's land, feasts of mickle wonder, wrought Giselher with dauntless hand. How bold soe'er was any, of kings and warrior band, saw ye yet the foremost, Giselher, to stand there against the foemen, a knight of valor good. Wounded deep full many, made he fall in oozing blood. Eke full well defend them, did Etzel's warriors too. There might ye see the strangers, their gory way to hew, with swords all brightly gleaming, adown that royal hall. Heard ye there on all sides, loudly ring the battle call. Join friends within beleaguered, would they without full fain, yet might they at the portal but little vantage gain. Eke they within had gladly gained the outer air, nor up nor down did Donkvart suffer one to pass the stair. There before the portal surged a mighty throng, and with a mickle clangor on helm the broadsword rung. Thus on the valiant Donkvart his foes did sorely press, and soon his trusty brother was anxious grown o'er his distress. Full loudly cried then Hagen unto Volker, "Trusty fear, beholdest thou my brother standing there, where on him Hunnish warriors their mighty blows do rain? Good friend, save thou my brother, ere we do lose the valiant thane." "That will I do full surely," thereat the minstrel spake. Adown the hall he fiddling gan his way to make. On his hand full often a trusty sword rang out, while grateful knights of Rhineland acclaimed him with a mickle shout. Soon did the valiant Volker Donkvart thus address: "Hard this day upon thee hath weighed the battle stress. That I should come to help thee, thy brother give command. Keep thou without the portal, I inward guarding here will stand." Donkvart, thane right valiant, stood without the door, and guarded so the stairway that none might pass before. There heard ye broad swords ringing, swung by warrior's hand, while inward in like manner wrought Volker of Burgundian land. There the valiant fiddler above the press did call, "Securely now, friend Hagen, closed is the hall. Yea, so firmly bolted is King Etzel's door, by hands of two good warriors, as thousand bars were set before." When Hagen thus of Tranya the door did guarded find, the warrior far renowned swung his shield behind. He first for harm received revenge began to take, whereat all hope of living did soon his enemies forsake. One of Baron Sir Dietrich rightly did perceive how the doughty Hagen did many a helmet cleave. The king of Amelungen upon a bench leaped up. Quoth he, "Here poureth Hagen for us exceeding bitter cup." Great fear fell eke on Etzel, as well might be the case. What trusty followers snatched they to death before his face? For well nigh did his enemies on him destruction bring. There sat he all confounded, what booted him to be a king? Cried then aloud to Dietrich Kriemhild the high lady, "Now help me, knight so noble, that hence with life I flee. By princely worth I pray thee, thou lord of Amelung's land, if here do reach me Hagen, straight find I death beneath his hand." "How may my help avail thee, noble queen and high?" answered her Sir Dietrich, "Fear for myself have I. Too sorely is enraged each knight in Gunther's band. To no one at this season may I lend assisting hand." But nay, Sir Dietrich, full noble knight and keen, what maketh thy bright chivalry? Let it this day be seen, and bring me hence to safety, else am I death's sure prey. Good cause with that on Kriemhild's bosom fear so heavy lay. So will I here endeavor to help thee as I may. Yet shalt thou well believe me, hath passed full many a day since saw I goodly warriors of so bitter mood. Neath swords behold I flowing through helmets plenteously the blued. Lustily then cried he, the warrior nobly born, that his voice rang loudly, like blast from bison's horn, that all around the palace gave back the lusty sound unto the might of Dietrich, never limit yet was found. When did hear King Gunther, how called the doughty man, above the storm of combat, to hearken he began. Quoth he, the voice of Dietrich hath fallen upon mine ear. I ween some of his followers before our thanes have fallen here. High on the board I see him, he beckons with the hand. Now, my good friends and kinsmen of Burgundian land, stay ye your hands from conflict. Let us hear and see if down upon the chieftain aught by my men of scathe there be. When thus King Gunther did beg and eke command, with swords in stress of battle stayed they all the hand. 'Twas token of his power that straight the strife did pause. Then him of Bern he questioned what of his outcry were the cause. He spake, "Full noble Dietrich, what here on thee is wrought by any of my warriors, for truly is my thought to make a full atonement and amends to thee. If here hath wronged thee any, 'twere cause of mickle grief to me." Then answered him Sir Dietrich, "Myself do nothing grieve. Grant me with thy protection but this hall to leave, and quit the dire conflict with them that me obey. Then surely will I ever seek thy favor to repay." "How pleadest thou so early?" Wolfhart was hard. "The fiddler so securely the door not yet hath barred, but it's so wide we'll open to pass it through, I trow. Now hold thy peace," quoth Dietrich, "wrought but little here hast thou." Then spake the royal Gunther, "That grant I thee to do. Forth from the hall lead many, or lead with thee few. And if my foes it be not, here stay they every one. Upon me here in Hunland hath grievous wrong by then been done." When heard he Gunther's answer, he took beneath his arm the noble Queen Kriemhild, who dreaded mickle harm. On the other side too led he Etzel with him away. Eke went thence with Dietrich 600 knights in fair array. Then outspake the margrave, the noble Rudiger, "If leave to any others be granted forth to fare, of those who glad would serve you, give us the same to see. Yea, peace that's never broken, 'twixt friends 'tis meet should ever be." Thereto gave answer Giselher of the land of Burgundy, "Peace and unbroken friendship wish we e'er with thee. With thee and all thy kinsmen, as true thou ever art, we grant thee all untroubled with thy friends from hence to part." When thus Sir Rudiger from the hall did pass, a train of knights 500 or more with him there was, of them of Beccalaerin, kinsmen and warriors true, whose parting gave King Gunther a nonful mickle cause to rue. When did a Hunnish warrior Etzel's passing see, 'neath the arm of Dietrich, to profit him, thought he, smote him yet the fiddler such a mighty blow, that for the feet of Etzel, sheer on the floor, his head fell low. When the country's monarch had gained the outer air, turned he looking backward, and gazed on Volcaire. "Alack, such guests to harbor! Ah, me discomfited, that all the knights that serve me shall before their might lie dead. Alack, their coming hither," spake the king once more, "within a warrior fighteth, like to wild forest boar, height the same as Volker, and a minstrel is also, to pass the demon scatheless, I to fortune's favor owe." Evil sound his melodies, his strokes of bow are red, yet beneath his music full many a knight lies dead. I know not what against us hath stirred that player's ire, for guests ne'er had I any whereby to suffer woe so dire. None other would they suffer to pass the door than those, than 'neath the hall's high roof tree a mighty din arose, for evil wrought upon them, those guests sore vengeance take. Volker, the doughty fiddler, what shining helmets there he break. Gunter, lofty monarch, thither turned his ear. Hear'st thou the music, Hagen, that yonder Volkir doth fiddle for the Hunmen when near the door they go? The stroke is red of color where he doth draw the fiddle bow. Mickle doth it rue me, Hagen spake again, that in the hall far severed I am from that bold thane. I was his boon companion, and he sworn friend to me. Come we hence ever scatheless, trusty fears we yet shall be. Behold now, lofty sire, the faith of Volker bold. With will he seeks to win him, thy silver and thy gold. With fiddle bow he cleaveth, ain the steel so hard. Bright gleaming crests of helmets are scattered by his mighty sword. Never saw I fiddler so dauntless heart display, as the doughty Volker here hath done this day. Through shield and shining helmet his melodies ring clear. Give him to ride good charger, and equal stately raiment wear. Of all the Hunnish kindred that in the hall had been, none now of all their number therein to fight was seen. Hushed was the din of battle, and strife no more was made. From out their hands aweary, their swords the dauntless warriors laid. End of section 35. Section 36 of the Nibelungen Lied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 34th Adventure, How They Cast Out the Dead. From toil of battle weary, rested the warriors all. Volker and Hagen passed out before the hall, and on their shields did lean them, those knights whom naught could daunt. Then with full merry converse gan the twain their foes to taunt. Spake meanwhile of Burgundy, Giselher the Thane, not yet, good friends, may ye think to rest again. Forth from the hall the courses shall ye rather bear, again will be assailed, that would I now in sooth declare. Beneath our feet no longer here the dead must lie, but ere in storm of battle at hand of Huns to die, we'll deal such wounds around us as 'tis my joy to see. Thereon spake Giselher, my heart is fixed right steadfastly. I joy in such a master, Hagen spake again. Such counsel well befitteth alone so valiant thane, as my youthful master hath shown himself this day. Therefore, O men of Burgundy, every one rejoice ye may. Then followed they his counsel, and from the hall they bore 7,000 bodies, and cast them from the door. Adown the mounting stairway altogether fell, whereat a sound of wailing did from mourning kinsmen swell. Many a man among them so slight wound did bear, that he were yet recovered, had he but gentle care, who yet falling headlong, now surely must be deed. Thereat did grieve their kinsmen, as verily was sorest need. Then outspake the fiddler, Volker, a hero bold, now do I find how truly hath to me been told, that cowards are the Hunmen who do like women weep. Rather should be their effort their wounded kin alive to keep. These words deemed a Margrave, spoken in kindly mood, he saw one of his kinsmen weltering in his blood. In his arms he clasped him, and thought him thence to bear. But as he bent above him, pierced him the valiant minstrel's spear. When that beheld the others, all in haste they fled, crying each one curses on that same minstrel's head. From the ground then snatched he a spear with point full keen, that gainst him up the stairway, by a Hunhead hurled been. Across the court he flung it with his arm of might, far above the people than did each Hunnish knight, seek him safer quarters, more distant from the hall, to see his mighty prowess did fill with fear his foemen all. As knights full many thousand, far for the palace stood, Volker and Hagen gan speak in wanton mood unto King Etzel, nor did they aught withhold, wherefrom anon did sorrow o'ertake those doughty warriors bold. "'Twould well beseem," quoth Hagen, "the people's lofty lord, foremost in storm of battle, to swing the cutting sword, as do my royal masters, each fair example show, where hew they through the helmets, their swords do make the blood to flow." To hear such words, brave Etzel snatched in haste his shield. "Now well beware of rashness," cried Lady Kriemhild, "and offer to thy warriors gold heaped on shield full high. If yonder Hagen reach thee, straightway shalt thou surely die." So high was the king's mettle that he would not give o'er, which case is now full seldom seen in high princes more. They must by shield-strap tugging him perforce restrain. Grim of mood then Hagen began him to revile again. "It was a distant kinship," spake Hagen, dauntless knight, "that Etzel unto Siegfried ever did unite. And husband he to Kriemhild was ere thee she knew. Wherefore, O king, faint-hearted, seekest thou such thing 'gainst me to do?" Thereto eke must listen the noble monarch's spouse, and grievously to hear it did Kriemhild's wrath arouse, that he for men of Etzel durst herself upbraid, to urge them gainst the strangers she once more her arts essayed. Cried she, "Of Tranya Hagen, whoso for me will slay, and his head from body severed, here before me lay. For him the shield of Etzel I'll fill with ready gold. Eke lands and lordly castles I'll give him for his own to hold." "I wot not why they tarry," thus the minstrel cried. "Ne'er saw I heroes any so their courage hide, when to them was offered like this reward so high. 'Tis cause henceforth that Etzel, for I to them good will deny, who in such craven manner do eat their master's breed, and like caitiffs fail him in time of greatest need. Here see I standing many, of courage all forlorn, yet would be men of valor, all time be they upheld to scorn." End of section 36. Section 37 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 35th Adventure, How Eyring Was Slain. Cried then he of Denmark, Eyring the Margrave, "Fixed on things of honor, my purpose long I have, and oft in storm of battle, where heroes wrought, was I. Bring hither now my armor, with Hagen I'll the combat try." "I counsel thee against it," Hagen then replied, "or bring a goodly company of Hunmen by thy side. If peradventure any find entrance to the hall, I'll cause that no wise scatheless down the steps again they fall." "Such words may not dissuade me," Eyring spake once more. "A thing of equal peril oft have I tried before. Yea, will I with my broadsword confront thee all alone, nor aught may here avail thee thus to speak in haughty tone." Soon the valiant Eyring armed and ready stood, and Ernfried of Thuringia, a youth of mettle good, and eke the doughty Havart, with 1,000 warriors tried, whate'er his purpose Eyring should find them faithfully by his side. Advancing then with Eyring did the fiddler see, all clad in shining armor, a mighty company, and each a well-made helmet, securely fastened wore. Thereat the gallant Volker began to rail in anger sore. "Seest thou, friend Hagen, yonder eyring go, who all alone to front thee with his sword did vow? Doth lying sort with honor? Scorned the thing must be. 1,000 knights or over, here bear him armed company." "Now make me not a liar," cried Havard's man aloud, "for firm is still my purpose to do what now I vowed, nor will I turn me from it through any cause of fear. Alone I'll stand for Hagen, awful howsoe'er he wear." On ground did throw him Eyring before his warrior's feet, that they leave might grant him alone the knight to meet. Loath they were to do it, well known to them might be the haughty Hagen's prowess of the land of Burgundy. Yet so long besought he that granted was their leave, when they that followed with him did his firm mind perceive, and how 'twas bent on honor they not restrained him, then closed the two chieftains together in a combat grim. Eyring of Denmark raised his spear on high, and with the shield he covered himself full skillful eye. He upward rushed on Hagen unto the hall right close, when round the clashing fighters soon a mighty din arose. Each hurled upon the other the spear with arm of might, that the firm shields were pierced, e'en to their mail coats bright, and outward still projecting the long spear shafts were seen. In haste then snatched their broadswords both the fighters grim and keen. In might the doughty Hagen and prowess did abound, as Eyring smote upon him the hall gave back the sound. The palace all and towers re-echoed from their blows, yet might that bold assailant with victory ne'er the combat close. On Hagen might not Eyring wreak aught of injury. Unto the doughty fiddler in haste then turned he, him by his mighty sword strokes thought he to subdue, but well the thane full gallant to keep him safe in combat knew. Then smote the doughty fiddler so lustily his shield, that from it flew its ornaments where he the sword did wield. Eyring must leave unconquered there the dauntless man. Next upon King Gunther of Burgundy in wrath he ran. There did each in combat show him man of might, howe'er did Gunther and Eyring each the other smite. From wounds might never either make the blood to flow, so sheltered each his armor, well wrought that was and strong enow. Gunther left he standing upon Gernot to dash, and when he smote ring armor the fire forth did flash. But soon had he of Burgundy Gernot the doughty thane, well nigh his keen assailant, Eyring of Denmark slain. Yet from the prince he freed him, for nimble was he too. Four of the men of Burgundy the knight full sudden slew, of those that followed with them from Worms upon the Rhine. Thereupon might nothing the wrath of Gisel her confine. "God wot well, Sir Eyring," young Giselher then cried, "now must thou make requital for them that here have died. 'Neath thy hand so sudden he rushed upon him so, and smote the knight of Denmark that he might not withstand the blow. Into the blood down fell he, staggering 'neath its might, that all who there beheld it might deem the noble knight sword again would never wield amid the fray. Yet neath a stroke of Giselher Eyring all unwounded lay. Bedazed by helmets sounding where ringing swords swung down, full suddenly his senses so from the knight were flown, that of his life no longer harbored he a thought that the doughty Giselher by his mighty arm had wrought. When somewhat was subsided the din within his head, from mighty blow so sudden on him was visited, thought he I still am living, and bear no mortal wound. How great the might of Giselher, till now unwitting, have I found. He hearkened how on all sides his foes around did stand. Knew they what he did purpose, they had not stayed their hand. He heard the voice of Giselher, eken that company. As cunning he bethought him, how yet he from his foes might flee. Up from the blood he started, with fierce and sudden bound, by grace alone of swiftness, he his freedom found. With speed he passed the portal, where Hagen yet did stand, and swift his sword he flourished, and smote him with his doughty hand. To see such sight, quoth Hagen, to death thou fallest a prey, if not the devil shield thee, now is thy latest day. Yet Eyring wounded Hagen, and threw his helmet's crown, that did the knight with Voski, a sword that was of far renown. When thus Sir Hagen the smart of wound did feel, wrathfully he brandished on high his blade of steel, full soon must yield before him Havard's daring man, adown the steps pursuing. Hagen swiftly after ran. O'er his head bold Eyring his shield to guard him swung, and Einhead that same stairway been full three times as long. Yet had he found no respite from warding Hagen's blows, how plenteously the ruddy sparks above his helmet rose. Unscathed at last came Eyring, where waited him his own, soon as was the story unto Kriemhild known, how that in fight on Hagen he had wrought injury. Therefore the lady Kriemhild him gan to thank full graciously. Now God requite thee, Eyring, thou valiant knight and good, for thou my heart hast comforted, and merry made my mood. Red with blood his armor, see I yonder Hagen stand, for joy herself did Kriemhild take his shield from out his hand. Small cause hast thou to thank him, thus wrathful Hagen spake, for gallant knight 'twere fitting trial once more to make. If then returned he scatheless, a valiant man he ware, the wound doth boot thee little that now from his hand I bear. That here from wound upon me my mail coat seest thou red, shall bring wool full reprisal on many a warrior's head. Now is my wrath aroused in full gainst Havard's thane, as yet in sooth hath Eyring wrought on me but little bane. Eyring, then of Denmark, stood where fanned the wind. He cooled him in his armor, and did his helmet unbend. Then praised him all the people, and spoke him man of might, whereat the Margrave's bosom swelled full high with proud delight. Now hearken, friends, unto me, Eyring once more spake. Make me straightway ready, new trial now to make. If I this knight so haughty may yet perchance subdue, new shield they brought for Hagen, did his erstwhile asunder hew. Soon stood against the warrior, in armor all bedight, and hand a spear full massy, took the wrathful knight, wherewith on yonder Hagen he thought to vent his hate, with grim and fearful visage on him the vengeful fain did wait. Yet not to bide his coming might Hagen longer now. Adown he rushed upon him with many a thrust and blow, down where the stairway ended, for fierce did burn his ire. Soon the might of Eyring must neath his furious onset tire. Their shields they smote asunder, that the sparks began to fly in ruddy showers. Havard's gallant man was by sword of Hagen wounded all so sore, through shield and shining cuirass, that hole he found him nevermore. When how great the wound was, Eyring fully knew, better to guard his helm band, his shield he higher drew. The scathe he first received, he deemed sufficient quite, yet injury far greater soon had he from King Gunther's knight. From where it lay before him, Hagen a spear did lift, and hurled it upon Eyring, with aim so sure and swift. It pierced his head and firmly, fixed the shaft did stand, full grim the end that met him, neath the doughty Hagen's hand. Backward Eyring yielded unto his Danish men, ere for the night his helmet they undid again. From his head they drew the spear point, to death he was anigh, wept there at his kinsmen, and sore need had verily. Come thereto Queen Kriemhild, and o'er the warrior bent, and for the doughty Eyring gan she there lament. She wept to see him wounded, and sorely grieved the queen. Then spake unto his kinsmen, the warrior full brave and keen. I pray thee leave thy moaning, royal high lady. What avails thy weeping? Yea, soon must ended be. My life from wounds outflowing, that here I did receive. To serve thyself and Etzel, will death not longer grant me leave. Eke spake he to them of Thuringia, and to them of Danish land. Of you shall never any receive the gift in hand from your royal mistress of shining gold full red, who wherewith standeth Hagen, doth calleth down upon his head. From cheek the color faded, death's sure token wore. Eyring the gallant warrior, thereat they grieved full sore, nor more in life might tarry Havard's valiant knight. Enraged the men of Denmark, again did arm them for the fight. Ernfried and Havard before the hall then sprang, leading 1,000 warriors, full furious a clang of weapons then on all sides, loud and great ye hear, against the men of Burgundy, how hurled they many a mighty spear. Straight the valiant Ernfried, the minstrel, rushed upon, but naught but grievous injury, neath his hand he won, for the noble fiddler did the landgrave smite, and through the well-wrought helmet, yea, grim and savage was the knight. Sir Ernfried then in answer the valiant minstrel smote, that must fly asunder the rings of his mailed coat, which showered o'er his cuirass like sparks of fire red. Soon must yet the landgrave fall before the fiddler dead. Eke were come together Havard and Hagen bold, and saw he deeds of wonder, who did the sight behold. Swift flew the sword and fiercely swung by each hero's hand, but soon lay Havard prostrate before him of Burgundian land. When Danish men and Thuringians beheld their master's fall, fearful was the turmoil that rose before the hall. As to the door they struggled, on dire vengeance bent, full many a shield and helmet was there neath sword asunder rent. "Now backward yield," cried Volker, "and let them pass within. Thus only are they thwarted of what they think to win. When but they pass the portals, are they full quickly slain. With death shall they the bounty of their royal mistress gain." When thus with pride o'erweening they did entrance find, the head of many a warrior was so to earth inclined, that he must life surrender neath blows that thickly fell. Well bore him valiant Gernot, and eke Sir Giselher as well. 4 knights beyond 1,000 were come into the house. The light from sword blades glinted, swift sung with mighty souse. Not one of all their number soon might ye living see. Tell might ye mickle wonders of the men of Burgundy. Thereafter came a stillness, and ceased the tumult loud. The blood in every quarter through the leak holes flowed, and out along the corbels from men in death laid low, that had the men of Rhineland wrought with many a doughty blow. Then sat again to rest them they of Burgundian land. Shield and mighty broadsword they laid from out the hand, but yet the valiant fiddler stood waiting for the door, if peradventure any would seek to offer combat more. Sorely did King Etzel and eke his spouse lament. Maidens and fair ladies did sorrow sorely torment. Death long since upon them, I ween such ending swore, to fall before the strangers was doomed full many a warrior more. End of section 37. Section 38 of the Nibelungenlied, translated by George Henry Needler. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Kurt. 36th Adventure, How the Queen Bade Set Fire to the Hall. Now lay ye off the helmets, the words from Hagen fell. I, with a boon companion, will be your sentinel, and seek the men of Etzel to work us further harm. For my royal masters, full quickly will I cry alarm. Then freed his head of armor, many a warrior good, they sate them on the corses that round them in the blood of wounds themselves had dealt them, prostrate, weltering lay. Now to his guest so lofty, scant courtesy did Etzel pay. Ere yet was come the even, King Etzel did persuade, and eke the Lady Kriemhild, that once more essayed. The Hunnish knights to storm them, before them might ye see, good 20,000 warriors, who soon for fight must ready be. Then with a furious onset, the strangers they attacked. Dankwart Hagen's brother, who naught of courage lacked, sprang out mid the besiegers to ward them from the door. 'Twas deemed a deadly peril, yet scatheless stood he there before. Fierce the struggle lasted, till darkness brought an end. Themselves like goodly heroes, the strangers did defend against the men of Etzel all the long summer day. What host of valiant warriors before them fell to death a prey. At turn of sun in summer, that havoc sore was wrought, when the Lady Kriemhild revenge so dire sought upon her nearest kinsmen and many a knight beside, wherefore with royal Etzel nevermore might joy abide. As day at last was ending, sad they were of heart. They deemed from life 'twere better in sudden death to part than be thus long tormented by great or hanging dread, that despite now be granted, the knights so proud and gallant prayed. They prayed to lead the monarch hither to them there, as heroes blood bespotted and stained from battle gear. Forth from the hall emerged the lofty monarchs three. They wist not to whom complained might their full grievous sorrows be. Etzel and Kriemhild they soon before them found, and great was now their company from all their lands around. Spake Etzel to the strangers, "What will ye now of me? Ye hope for end of conflict, but hardly may such favor be. This so mighty ruin that ye on me have wrought, if death thwart not my purpose, shall profit you in naught. For child that here ye slew me, and kinsman dear to me, shall peace and reconcilement from you withheld forever be." Thereto gave answer Gunther, "To that drove sorest need. Lay all my train of squires before thy warrior's deed. Were they for night assembled, how bore I so great blame? A friendly mind I deemed thee, as trusting in thy faith I came." Then spake eke of Burgundy the youthful Giselher, "Ye knights that still are living, of Etzel now declare, whereof ye may reproach me, how hath you harmed my hand? For in right friendly manner came I riding to this land." Cried they, "Well is thy friendship in burg and country known by sorrow of thy making. Gladly had we foregone the pleasure of thy coming from Worms across the Rhine. Our country hast thou orphaned, thou and brother eke of thine." An angry mood King Gunther unto them replied, "And ye this mighty hatred appeased would lay aside, born gainst us knights here homeless, to both again it wear. For Etzel's wrath against us, we in sooth no guilt do bear. the host then to the strangers, your sorrow here and mine. Are things all unequal? For now must I repine. With honor I'll be spotted, and neath this stress of woe, of you shall never any hence from my country living go. Then did the doughty Gernot unto King Etzel say, God then in mercy move thee to act in friendly way. Slay us knights here homeless, yet grant us down to go, to meet thee in the open, thine honor biddeth thus to do. Whate'er shall be our portion, let that straightway appear. Men hast thou yet so many, that should they banish fear, not one of us storm-weary might keep his life secure. How long shall we here friendless this woeful travail yet endure? By the warriors of Etzel, their wish nigh granted was, and leave well nigh was given, that from the hall they pass. When Kriemhild knew their purpose, high her anger swelled, and straightway such a respite was from the stranger knights withheld. But nay, ye Hunnish warriors, what ye have mind to do, therefrom now desist ye, such is my counsel true. Nor let foes so vengeful pass without the hall, else must in death before them full many of your kinsmen fall. If of them live none other but Ute's sons alone, my three noble brothers, and they the air had won, where breeze might cool their armor, to death ye were a prey. In all this world were never born more valiant thanes than they. Then spake the youthful Giselher, full beauteous sister mine, when to this land thou badst me, from far beside the Rhine, I little deemed such trouble did here upon me wait. Whereby have I deserved from the Huns such mortal hate? To thee I ever faithful was, nor wronged the heir. In such faith confiding did I hither fare, that thou to me wert gracious, O noble sister mine. Show mercy now unto us, we must to thee our lives resign. No mercy may I show you, unmerciful I'll be. By Hagen, knight of Tranya, was wrought such woe to me, that ne'er is reconcilement the while that I have life, that must ye all atone for, quoth the royal Etzel's wife. Will ye but Hagen only to me as hostage give, then will I not deny you to let you longer live. Born are ye of one mother, and brothers unto me, so wish I that compounded herewith these warriors' peace may be. God in heaven forfend it, Gernot straightway said. E'en though we were a thousand, lay we all rather dead, we who are thy kinsmen, ere that warrior won, here we gave for hostage, never may such thing be done. Die must we all, quoth Giselher, for such is mortal's end. Till then, despite of any, our knighthood we'll defend. Would any test our mettle, here may he trial make, for ne'er when help he needed did I a faithful friend forsake. Then spake the valiant Dankwart, a knight that knew no fear. In sooth stands not unaided my brother Hagen here, who here have peace denied us, may yet have cause to rue. I would that this ye doubt not, for verily I tell you true. The queen to those around her, ye gallant warriors go, now nigher to the stairway, and straight avenge my woe. I'll ever make requital, therefore as well I may, for his haughty humor will I Hagen full repay. To pass without the portal, let not one at all, for at its four corners I'll bid ignite the hall. So will I fullest vengeance take for all my woe. Straightway the thanes of Etzel ready stood her hest to do, who still without were standing, were driven soon within, by sword and spear upon them, that made a mighty din. Yet naught might those good warriors from their masters take, by their faith would never each the other's side forsake. To burn the hall commanded Etzel's wife in ire, and tortured they those warriors, there with flaming fire, full soon with wind upon it, the house in flames was seen. To any folk did never sadder plight befall, I ween. Their cries within resounded, alack for sorest need, how mickle rather lay we in storm of battle deed. For God, 'tis cause for pity, for here we all must die. Now doth the queen upon us vengeance wreak full grievous lie. Among them spake another, our lives we here must end. What now avails the greeting the king to us did send? So sore this heat oppresseth, and parched with thirst my tongue. My life from very anguish, I ween I must resign ere long. Then quoth of Tranya Hagen, ye noble knights and good, whoe'er by thirst is troubled, here let him drink the blood. Then wine more potent is it, where such high heat doth rage, nor may we at this season find us a better beverage. Where fallen knight was lying, thither a warrior went. Aside he laid his helmet, to gaping wound he bent, and soon was seen a-quaffing, there from the flowing blood. To him, though all unwonted, yet seemed he there such drinking good. Now God reward thee, Hagen, the weary warrior said, that I so well have drunken, thus by thy teaching led. Better wine full seldom hath been poured for me, and live I yet a season, I'll ever faithful prove to thee. When there did hear the others, how to him it seemed good, many more beheld ye, eke that drank the blood, each thereby new vigor for his body won, and eke for lover fallen, wept many a bosom dame anon. The flaming brands fell thickly upon them in the hall, with upraised shields they kept them, yet scatheless from their fall, though smoke and heat together wrought them anguish sore. Beset were heroes never, I ween, by so great woe before. Then spake of Tronja Hagen, stand nigh unto the wall, let not the brands all flaming upon your helmets fall. Into the blood beneath you tread them with your feet, in sooth and evil fashion us doth our royal hostess greet. In trials thus endured, ebbed the night away, still without the portal did the keen fiddler stay, and Hagen, his good fellow, o'er shield their bodies leant. They deemed the men of Etzel still on further mischief bent. Then was heard the fiddler, pass we into the hall, for so the Huns shall fondly deem we are perished all, amid the mickle torture we suffer at their hand. Now the less shall they behold us, bound for fight before them stand. Spake then of Burgundy, the young Sir Giselher, I ween 'twill soon be dawning, for blows a cooler air, to live in fuller joyance, now grant us God in heaven, to us dire entertainment, my sister Kriemhild here hath given. Spake again another, lo, how I feel the day, for that no better fortune here await us may. So don ye knights your armor, and guard ye well your life, full soon in sooth we suffer again at hands of Etzel's wife. Fondly Etzel fancied the strangers all were dead, from sore stress of battle and from the fire dread. Yet within were living 600 men so brave, that never thanes more worthy a monarch for liegemen might have. The watchers set to watch them soon full well had seen how still lived the strangers, spite what wrought had been of harm and grievous evil on the monarchs and their band. Within the hall they saw them still unscathed and dauntless stand. Told 'twas then to Kriemhild how they from harm were free, whereat the royal lady quoth such thing ne'er might be, that any still were living from that fire dread. Nay, believe I rather that within they all lie dead. Gladly yet the strangers would a truce compound, might any grace to offer amid their foes be found, but such appeared not any in them of Hunnish land. Well to avenge their dying prepared they then with willing hand. About the dawn of morning, greeted they were again, with a vicious onslaught that paid full many a thane. There was flung upon them many a mighty spear, while gallantly did guard them the lofty thanes that knew not fear. The warriors of Etzel were all of eager mood, and Kriemhild's promised bounty win for himself each wooed. To do the king's high bidding did likewise urge their mind. 'Twas cause full soon that many were doomed swift death in fight to find. Of store of bounty promised might wonders great be told. She bade on shields to carry forth the ruddy gold, and gave to him that wished it, or would but take her store. In sooth, a greater hire ne'er tempted gainst the foe before. A mickle host of warriors went forth in battle gear. Then quoth the valiant Volker, "Still may ye find us here. Ne'er saw I move to battle warriors more fain, that to work us evil the bounty of the king have ta'en." Then cried among them many, "Hither, ye knights, mourn I, since all at last must perish, 'twere better instant lie. And here no warrior falleth, but who foredoomed hath been, with well-flung spears all bristling, for quickly then their shields were seen." What need of further story? 1,200 stalwart men, repulsed in onset gory, still returned again. But dealing wounds around them, the strangers cooled their mood, and there stood all unvanquished, flowing might ye see the blood. From deep wounds and mortal, whereof were many slain, for friends in battle fallen, heard ye loud complain. Slain were all those warriors that served the mighty king, whereat from loving kinsmen arose a mickle sorrowing. End of section 38.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.